February 4th, 2016. You are looking live at San Francisco, California. This is episode 545 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. I am at the Super Bowl. I was in Iowa for 4 days, 5 days. Who knows? Who can remember? I am now in San Francisco, where I will be attending Super Bowl 50 between the Denver Broncos and a team that is not the Arizona Cardinals. It is beautiful in San Francisco. It's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to, as long as you're not looking at it from ground level. And it is Super Bowl time. It's Super Bowl 50. Very exciting. So I am elated to have on as my guest, our big Super Bowl preview podcast, is my old friend. She's not old personally. We've just been friends for a long time. Lindsay Jones. She is the NFL reporter for USA Today. You can follow her on Twitter at @BylindsayHJones, BylindsayHJones. She was also my travel companion to Sochi 2 years ago. So we go way back. She has listened to me yammer about a lot of things. Today she gets to listen to me yammer and mostly give me information about Super Bowl 50 between the Denver Broncos, a team she's covered for a long time, and the Carolina Panthers. So this is your Super Bowl preview podcast. Please review us on iTunes, as you know, and all that sort of business, and follow all of my stuff from Sports on Earth this week. And next week we'll be back, I think, with Allison Footer. I think we're going to try to get her once we get back home after I'm not on the road. I've been on the road for a very long time. But hey, Trump is not president yet, so you know, we got that going for us. Anyway, here's Lindsay Jones, and enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. All right, Lindsay, first off, thank you. As always, I think it's becoming a Super Bowl tradition now that you are on the podcast. I met you 2 Super Bowls ago, right before we were about to become travel buddies to Sochi.
Yeah, so we're recording this on Wednesday, so we're almost two years to the day from our great journey New York to Amsterdam.
I still have video of you running through the Amsterdam airport, flying through, running, because you were on you kind of famously have your running days in a row that you've done, and you were on a run of...
That was like day 70, and that was actually the last day of that streak because...
Well, you were flying halfway across the world.
The first day in Russia, it all fell apart. And I'm not on one right now, but my long one, this time last year I was.
Yeah.
I did 265 in a row and then got hurt and it was over.
That's what happens, frankly, when you run 65 in a row. But so how many Super Bowls have you done now?
This is six.
Six in a row?
No, total? Not six in a row. My first one was 2008. Okay. The one in the 2008 season. So Steelers Cardinals.
Yes, I remember that
in
one.
In Tampa Bay.
Yes.
So that was my first year on the NFL beat. So that was my first one. I did that one. I did the next year in Miami, Colts Saints. Mm-hmm. A Peyton Manning loss.
Yes, yes.
And then
you see a couple Peyton Manning Super Bowl losses.
I have, yeah. And then I missed a couple years, and then I've been at the last four.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, and of course, you live in Denver, so you spend a lot of time around the Broncos. Is it easier for you? Like obviously, you are an impartial journalist, and you are not cheering for any team. But I'm curious, when you saw Patriots Broncos, did you think your job would be easier or harder if the Broncos went?
Well, I think I could speak for like the assembled national media that all of our jobs are probably a little easier this week without the Patriots in it, just because they're such a difficult team to cover because they're so notoriously tight-lipped.
Right.
They've got some big personalities in there, but not as many.
Right.
So just in terms of like the sheer number of guys to talk about, new stories.
Right.
We were here last year with the Patriots. We've been writing Deflategate stuff. For a year,
Don't you miss it? I miss it. Totally. I wish it were here.
Yeah, there have been a noticeable lack of gate scandals.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, I have to say. I was thinking about that.
It's early in the week. You probably just jinxed something.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that because I was thinking about Goodell's press conference. Because remember last year, everyone was all... I actually came away so disappointed in us in journalists as a general... Because we were so built up last year. There was this whole year of Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson and concussions. And literally like 3/4 of the questions were about the dumbass balls being deflated.
True.
And which my argument at the time last year was this was actually like... Goodell was probably very elated to talk about Deflategate because it let him come down like as the law guy and we're cutting down on those guys. We're going to stop them. And he didn't have to talk about all the horrible things that happened that year.
Right.
It doesn't feel like there is that story.
There isn't the one giant controversy. Yeah. I mean, the Deflategate stuff still isn't completely gone, and the stuff involving
it will never be gone.
Goodell's
ever.
Authority.
Right.
I mean, that's still
a
big issue. His overstepping bounds, you know, the disciplinary and all that kind of stuff is still there. I think there's still a lot of like drug policy stuff that could be out there. There's a lot of hurt feelings and stuff that's going along with, well, and good, and happy feelings, depending on where you live, but with L.A.
Right.
So, it's, I mean, there's stuff.
There's certainly stuff to ask him. Right. Well, good. Maybe there'll be a real press conference then.
Scandal. Yeah, yeah. Just the flake case stuff. But to get back to your original question, too, about covering the Broncos, the other side of it is, I mean, I know these guys. Some of these guys I've been covering since I was still at the Denver Post, and I was the Broncos beat writer there. So, I mean, there are guys that I know better. I know their backstories, mostly. I mean, so sometimes it's less research. I'm not having to, you know, sit on Wikipedia looking for, like, where did this guy go to college? And so that definitely helps. Although I do find myself writing, I feel like I've written about all of these guys.
I was going to say, every storyline, it feels like you could just be the generator of those from past stories.
Right. I mean, I wrote a story that was in, it was online Wednesday about Demaryius Thomas. And of course that involves his, I mean, his story is amazing with his mother who was released from prison. I first wrote that story in 2010. Yeah. So it's not.
And everyone today has been like all week has been like, what an amazing story about Demaryius Thomas.
So, you know, it's kind of fun when you can unearth a new story, a new angle. Like I get excited if it's something that I haven't written before or a guy that I hadn't really talked to yet. So those things are all fun. You know those guys, you know the PR stuff better, you know. And then there's, I live in Denver. I see what it means to the city. And I'm sure there's people that live in Charlotte that kind of get that perspective too of, you know, it's not just some nameless, faceless
it's a real
franchise. You know, you kind of get the history behind it. Like Mr. Bolin and the Broncos owner who's got Alzheimer's. You know, there's just all of those things that maybe I have a better appreciation for than other national reporters since I do live there.
I'm curious about the Denver thing because it is, you know, I mean, I was doing a big Super Bowl rankings roundup of like franchises last week, and you forget that like those two Elway Super Bowls obviously were great and amazing, but everything else has been completely miserable for them in the Super Bowl. And since then, it's been actually pretty painful. And it's been 16 years at this point.
Yeah, they're one of those franchises where, I mean, I think Broncos fans are kind of spoiled because there's a lot of franchises who
they're not the Bills
would kill to be in this situation you know you kind of can say if they lose this one they've been to
they've been to eight
and they've lost all of these
the Lions,
the Browns, I mean all these teams would love to go to that many Super Bowls, and you know, and the fact that they're always in contention. I think the one of those crazy stats with Pat Bowlen, who bought the team in 1983, he's had as many Super Bowl appearances as he's had losing seasons in the tenure he's on the team. So, the expectations are fairly high, although it's been very different this year. I mean, we look back 2 years ago where the Broncos came into that game, the heavy favorite.
Of course.
The powerful offense, the MVP of the league who had set all the offensive records. You know, this year, I think there's a little, I wouldn't say they're just happy to be there because the team is definitely not happy to be there. But I think there's a lot of fans that are like, can't believe that it happened after the year that they had with the quarterback.
It was crazy.
The way they won their games where, you know, early in the year, sometimes it felt fluky. By the end, you just expected they were going to win these close games. It's just kind of, it's just a very different vibe. And, you know, I think people are really enjoying the
role. They're appreciating it more than getting antsy about it.
You know, I wish people would appreciate, everybody would appreciate the franchise that they have there because, in my job, I travel, I spend a lot of time in Cleveland.
Jacksonville.
Not a ton in Jacksonville, but, some of these other places where, look, they've been two Super Bowls in 3 years where most teams
can't complain too much.
Can't even find a quarterback.
What is the relationship with Manning? Like, obviously, Elway was Mr. Denver, and he still is in a lot of ways. Manning, what is the relationship with him compared to the way it was with Elway?
Well, I mean, Elway.
Obviously, it's not Elway.
Because Elway came there in, 1983? And
he was there forever.
And he never left. He could probably.
Obviously, they've embraced Manning. The personal drama of Manning feels almost separate than the drama of the Broncos franchise.
There is still a part of it that feels like he's rented.
That's what I mean.
You know,
he
belongs to Indianapolis when he goes.
The Montana Chiefs thing.
Yeah, like, when, you know, when he goes. I mean, I feel like he's more a part of the Broncos than Montana was with the Chiefs.
Right.
And maybe that's because he won an MVP here.
He's been there 3 years,
Four years. And four very successful years, minus kind of a blip some part of this year. But, you know, there's. When he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, I mean, it's been so Broncos heavy lately, but look, 5 or 6 years from now, whatever the case may be, when he goes to the Hall of Fame, the bulk of what that's going to be on. It's going to be based on what happened with the Colts in the 11 years or 12 years 12 that he's, years. Yeah, 12 years. I'm really bad at math that he spent there. Although what happened with him when he came to Denver with his career, the comeback from, because it's crazy to think back to 2012 where March of 2012, where nobody really knew if he could play again.
Yeah,
I mean, it was kind of a, you know, a leap of faith that John Elway and the Broncos took by giving him $96 million. And saying,
that was a huge contract for a guy that people weren't sure if he was giving him a movie.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, they're not going to give him $96 million because it was a year-to-year thing.
Well, it's NFL contract.
But he's going to get the bulk of he's going to get the bulk of that money because each year was guaranteed, but not the entire contract. Right. So he, ultimately, he's end up going to get at least $75 million of that, approximately. So that was a leap of faith because nobody knew what kind of player he was going to be. So the fact that he was able to come back, lead the Broncos to four straight AFC West titles.
And set all these records
in
the season,
he was
right.
better in 2013. Of course, the one caveat to that now is there's the Al Jazeera. Was that comeback tainted? Because that was such a big part of his legacy and his story that he, you know, very few quarterbacks have had this second chapter that's been as successful as Peyton Manning's has been.
Have they... Does that bother Broncos fans? Like, when that, what's been the reaction to that? Has there been a sense of, like, have they rallied around him the way that, like, Giants fans rallied around Bonds? Or have they encircled the wagons? Or has it been, I mean, obviously they can just say, it's Al Jazeera, or so on. But, like, are there, or is it a sense that it's, that they've lost anything?
I mean, I feel like the NFL community as a whole
well,
is pretty much
rallied around. That may be a Manning thing,
Yeah, I think that's a kind of a Peyton Manning thing. And, you know, there are a lot of ways you could poke holes in that story right away, which, you know, kind of as... As a journalist, there were some frustrating things about that story where you just said, well, you know, there were multiple layers of that where you're like, if you're going to go with this...
Right, you need to be ready.
Be ready.
Many things.
You know, you got to have that... You got to have a paper trail. You can't just have one guy on camera. You got to have the layers and layers of documentation.
I felt they could have used like a little bit closer. It's funny because I in my piece I wrote about how like, you know, Al Jazeera America has been doing really good journalism for like a really long time. So it's not that, but I do feel like it would have helped them to maybe have like someone with a little closer familiarity with football that would understand the, that you had to nail this.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't just toss out and one of the NFL's biggest stars. Like, no, not just one of the NFL's biggest stars.
Well, and then
stars.
There was kind of this element to it where, it was like, we never said that he did HGH.
Right,
you can draw your own conclusions. Well, of course you're going to draw your own conclusions. And so
just because of the fact that halfway through the documentary, they drop the story that they're doing. And they're like, okay, now it's all about Manning. Well, like, obviously
so
you feel
so
like
So just
something.
From like a journalistic, like storytelling standpoint, it was kind of frustrating in that sense. But yeah, I think...
It's also, it wasn't disproven though. Like, it's not like Manning is off the cliff.
It's not over. The NFL is looking into this. I think... The way Peyton has handled it, I mean, he came out and denied it as strongly as anybody has almost ever come out denying anything. I think they've never denied that Ashley Manning was a patient there and likely received medication, which, let's say somebody finds shipping receipts or something, they can say, we never said that Ashley didn't get her stuff and what she received, and I said I never took her stuff.
So they're giving themselves outs.
Yes, exactly. I mean, some sort of... plausible deniability or whatever the legalese might be. So I think there's some elements of that. But I think the people who have always been very critical of Manning, which I don't think that's a huge number of people. I think those people are...
I think they're all in Boston.
Right. And a lot, I did get a lot of that stuff where like, if the NFL is going to handle Brady for this, all this stuff, why aren't they going...
Someone that loves Tom Brady, like I actually love Tom Brady and find myself rooting for Tom Brady, but like if you have Tom Brady in your Twitter avatar, you're a horrible person. Just as a general rule, as we can all relate to everyone that's ever dealt with one of those people.
There is that sort. But I think the way that Peyton came out so strongly denying, so angry about it. Yeah. I mean, it was, I feel like I know him pretty well, you know, from covering him for 4 years on almost a daily basis. He came across as very sincere.
He did. And immediately sincere.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, the words he used, they were not PR crafted statements.
Right.
I mean, we saw him on camera.
Within like the next morning.
Within hours. Yeah. And so it didn't come off as scripted as like a PR saving face. I mean, it came off as he was on the offensive rather necessarily.
As opposed to the
defensive
way that like Brady handled the Deflategate, for example. Well, like that felt like.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that helped maybe Broncos fans certainly rallied behind him. And then, you know, he's a guy, I guess, that has probably earned the benefit of the doubt over the course of his career. I mean, my initial thing when the story came out, when I first saw the headline, was, oh, crap, I've been waiting. I've been not afraid that something like this has happened, because that's not the right...
Right.
But knowing the kind of guy Peyton is, I would not be surprised if he tried everything possible to get back. Whether that was crossing lines, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem like a guy that would knowingly break such a blatant rule. But if there's cutting-edge medical treatments he goes to Europe to do, or those sort, you know, the stem cell stuff, like, I'm not surprised. I would just be, the only thing I'd be surprised about, if he'd be dumb enough to go to an Indiana clinic and be have it sent to his wife.
Right.
He's not, and he's the most anal, retentive, detail-oriented guy I've ever met in any profession, that you would be that lazy. I mean, that's just lazy. Sloppy, you know, he doesn't, so that would have surprised me. So, I mean, that's the one thing that's kind of hanging over this with him, I think, that's, you know, probably not going to go away by the end of this week. If he ends up retiring after this game, you know, maybe.
It didn't really help Clemens, though. I feel like Roger Clemens still had that stuff follow him after he left a little bit.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I wonder if Manning would have retired after last year, and we'll see if he wins the World Super Bowl. It won't matter. But I wonder if this would have been, this wouldn't have been a big deal then. But now, like, now he's going for the championship. He's trying to win. He's trying to go out like Elway did.
Yeah, and absolutely.
That kind of idea. And that's another thing I find curious about, because I also feel like there is a non-zero chance, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, there's a non-zero chance that Carolina, which is a team that's shown they can come out early and get a lot of points, if Carolina comes out to like a big lead in this game, Peyton Manning, for as well as he's played the last couple of weeks, still doesn't seem to be able to throw the ball farther than 20, 25 yards down the field.
He can throw it further. His accuracy on those balls is not...
If they need to come back.
Yes.
If they need to come back, and they need to come back with big, huge chunks of throwing it down the field.
They don't have the big chunk plays.
Can Osweiler play that? With a bigger arm? Is that, like, if they fall behind 24-3 at halftime, or 27, does Manning ride it out? Or
I think so.
No matter what happens.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the only way there's a leash on Manning in the Super Bowl is if he's hurt. And if something happens, you know, if a legitimate injury.
More hurt than he is anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes and throws four picks in the first half, does then Gary Kubiak maybe need to make some move? But
that seems unlikely.
Yeah, I just can't, I can't see any scenario in which he would pull him for performance. I mean, I've been wrong about that before.
I mean, it's been a month, right? It's been a month since he, like, it was a month and a half ago, he not only was not starting, he seemed... Every story is about, like, I'm fine with being a backup, but I have to be a backup.
Right.
Which seems, as now he is this all-time Hall of Famer, trying to win a Super Bowl in his last game, seems insane to think about that a month and a half
ago. It's been such a weird, such a weird year. I mean, we look back to late November, and, I mean, there were a lot of stories. I wrote some of these stories about how he's not, I couldn't picture him back in this offense, the way Brock was playing, the way the team was playing with him. You know, of course, then they came down to earth a little bit. Brock had some struggles, and then... I guess my thing is, like, in November and even early December, I just didn't think Peyton was ever going to get healthy enough to fully play, because we saw how much he struggled even in September when he was supposedly healthy. I just didn't think he'd get to the point where he could play. Turns out they were not lying to us, which is so odd, because we just expect that teams and coaches are lying to us every time they talk. They meant it when they said we're trying to get, we're just waiting for Peyton to get healthy, and it's his team, and we'll take it week to week, and then... I mean, he has been better since he came back. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been great. I mean, that version of Peyton Manning that we have in our head.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen that guy probably since October of 2014. Right. And
even then, he wasn't like the arm wasn't huge then.
No, I mean, his arm hasn't been big since 2010.
Right.
It was never huge. Right. He was never a Ryan Leaf arm. I'm trying to get who's
proving that, once again, Leaf was the right call. Right. I think we all know.
You know, or who are we?
Fouts or
Jay Cutler who's got a big arm. You know, some of these guys, that was just never his game. They've been showing NFL Network all these weeks. They've been showing old Super Bowls, and I was watching the, I guess it was the one, his first, it must have been his first Super Bowl against the Bears. In 2000.
Was that his first Super Bowl?
So he won his first one.
The really terrible game, like one of the worst Super Bowls.
Disgusting rainstorm in Miami.
Just bad.
And that was 10 years ago, right? Not 9 years ago.
Right, 9 years
ago. February 2007. And he didn't have a huge arm in that game. I mean, you can go back and watch games from earlier in the 2000s, and he still threw ducks.
Yeah.
So that's just never been a thing. But there's been a significant drop-off from pre-neck surgeries to 2012, and then there has also been a noticeable drop-off from middle of 2014 until now. And all of the issues he had this year with throwing the ball were exacerbated by lower body injuries that he was dealing with. And I talked to his quarterback's coach about that today, who, you know, he needs his body, his entire body, to be as close to 100% as possible. If he can't step into a throw, if he's unsure about his quad like he was last year, if he can't move around, he doesn't have the arm strength to make up for those limitations. So that's why that foot injury he had bothered him more than a lot of other quarterbacks have been able to play through it. Yeah, he didn't. He just wasn't fit enough everywhere else.
No, I know you've been covering him for a long time. They are, of course, playing the Panthers. Your colleague, Nancy Armour, I thought wrote a really good piece.
Yeah.
Because it's weird because we've been spent all this time this year not just talking about the Broncos and the Patriots, but the Cardinals and the Seahawks and all like this, all these teams that the Seahawks have won two NFC championships in a row. It's reasonable that we would talk about them.
Right.
And the Cardinals have been this fun team that scored all these points. But like the Panthers, when you take a step back on it, if they win, they will be 18-1. You have to make and their loss was like a fluky, weird Falcons loss. She made, I thought, a pretty solid argument that you have to consider them one of the best NFL teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how can you argue with 18-1?
Yeah.
I mean,
and like wiping out teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
wiping out good teams in the playoffs.
Absolutely. What they did to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Was
unpleasant.
What they did to Carson Palmer, the way that they attacked him defensively, because Cam Newton gets so much of the credit, and he deserves all of that credit. I voted for him for MVP. I don't know if it's going to be unanimous on Saturday night for the MVP award, but if it's not, it's going to be pretty damn close, and the people who didn't vote for him are probably going to look pretty stupid for their, you know. Tom Brady will probably get a couple votes. He almost always does, usually from New England people. And Carson Palmer.
I can't see him getting any first,
Carson's issue was that he had a really bad week 17 game, and our MVP votes were due like 2 days later. Yeah. So I think
them to finish behind Carolina, I think if Arizona would have gotten the home field in that, you can make an argument.
And if they really laid an egg week 17, and that was kind of one of those, if he had come out and thrown 3 or 4 touchdowns against the Seahawks in week 17. And, maybe it just would have completed that comeback story. But, they've gotten so much of the attention. But they're such a complete team.
Yeah.
They're so good on defense. They're, their secondary took a hit in injuries this year. But their front seven is awesome. Mm-hmm. Their linebackers are awesome. Josh Norman is awesome. Yeah. Their safeties are good enough. And they're just so good. They're just... Yeah. Deep across the board, but ever since since September when they started off 4-0 whatever the first month of the season, we were just looking for reasons to poke holes in this team. I remember
the division was terrible.
Falcons started off hot, I just remember having on our USA Today podcast having a debate of like which team is going to falter first in the NFC South, the Falcons or the Panthers. And I went to Seattle when they played the Panthers at Seattle. I guess it was October 15th-ish, mid-October. And it was really like, okay, this is going to, this fun little story for the Panthers is going to be over. And they went into Seattle where very few teams have won. The Cardinals are basically the only team who've gone in there and won recently. They went in there and it was not a fluky win. I mean, they came back. They came back on the Seahawks late in that game. Cam Newton and Greg Olsen had a huge game. I mean, it was an impressive win that they did there. And I just remember we put it on the front page of the paper, and it was like, here
they are.
Yeah, here they are, and they kind of just it steamrolled from there. And I mean, it was probably a good thing that they lost that game. Could you imagine that game to the Falcons? If they were here right now.
And that was a dumb loss. Like, it was a weird game. Right. Like,
but sometimes you can just feel it building. Like, if they'd been here right now at 18-0, I'm not sure if the way that team is built, they could handle the...
Might be too much too fast.
The pressure of all that stuff right now. And the Patriots couldn't handle it.
Right.
The Panthers. So,
isn't the fear for the Broncos a little bit that these Panthers... seem to look a lot like their secondary is not as good, but they've got a more at least physically talented quarterback. Their receivers aren't quite as good, but they look like that Seattle team a little bit from 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean that they
definitely up front.
They certainly have that model. You know, they've got a cornerback in Josh Norman, mm-hmm. who's very, very similar to Richard Sherman in both the style of play and the way he acts on the field. You know, in just terms of
his brashness,
the confidence, and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's certainly some of that. I think the Panthers' offense is significantly more developed and powerful than the Seahawks' offense was 2 years ago, which is scary because they scored 43 points in that game.
Right.
And, you know, they got the benefit of turnovers. There was a kickoff return touchdown, those sorts of things. But, it's interesting. But I think this Broncos defense is much
better.
Much more ready to handle a good offense than the Broncos defense was 2 years ago.
Is that the key, is whether they can get pressure on Newton? Because the thing about Newton is people have this sense that he's a running quarterback, but he's not really anymore. Like, he can evade the rush, but he's not, they don't run a lot of those draw plays anymore.
Well, what's interesting about him is that he's not, I mean, like, you look at, like, a Aaron Rodgers who extends plays by scrambling around. And Russell Wilson, the plays break down and he escapes the pocket in the scramble drills. Cam's a pocket passer who can also run.
Right, right.
So he's either going to stand in the pocket and throw and try to hit the Philly Brown and Ted Ginn on those deep runs.
Or he's going.
Or it's a designed run going. And, you know, if it's short yardage, if it's red zone, you know Cam is running and he's maybe the most unstoppable. I mean, he's one of the most unstoppable players in football in those situations. So that's the really big challenge, is that they have the most unique running game in the NFL and a good enough passing game because he can make all of the throws. So the issue is, you got to get to him. If you're the Broncos front seven, you got to hit him a lot. He's so hard to take down. You know, they hit Brady a ton, but he kept getting up and throwing. You know, Andrew Luck's probably the closest guy style wise to Cam Newton that they played this year, just in terms of
how he plays,
his size, his speed, the combination of running and throwing. And they had their worst game of the year against the Colts. This Broncos defense did. They hit Andrew Luck a ton, and it ended up ending his season. That game did. The culmination of all the hits that he took. He got one, obviously, kidney shot that ended his year. But, you know,
there were
you can hit this guy a lot. And the issue, I think the thing is, they need to hit him while he's throwing and not just hitting him while he's running. But they got to hit everybody. Yeah. I mean, they got to hit.
That's what they do.
Yeah, you got to hit those receivers. You can't let them get behind you on those deep routes. You got to hit them at the end of those short routes they do. I mean, there are scenarios. I mean, I think maybe of any team that the Panthers have faced this year, this is going to be the toughest defensive matchup, just the way the Broncos are built. But the flip side of that is that the Broncos haven't seen anything like this Panthers offense.
So I feel bad doing this because, you know, we've talked so much about the Broncos already, but as we kind of funnel toward a prediction a little bit, we're sports writers. We're looking for narratives.
Yeah.
And it is difficult. I don't know. I wrote about this about a month ago, about how insane it was that Peyton Manning is having an ending to his career that is really unlike any that we've ever seen. Like, it's weirdly dramatic for a guy that's not inherently dramatic. Like, you know, I mean, and even like the storylines we've had throughout his career is he needs this win to stay above 500 in the playoffs. And it's strange that, like, when if the Broncos win this game, it won't be because Peyton Manning just had this incredible game and everything else went wrong to Denver. But it does feel like he is going to, inevitably, even though the Broncos defense is the reason they've won the last couple of weeks and the reason they've been so good this year, it still feels like this is going to end up landing on Peyton.
Yeah, I think there will be.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. I mean, he doesn't say he's retiring, but he's retiring, right?
I can't imagine. Well, I can't picture a scenario where he comes back to Denver.
Right.
I don't.
Cleveland.
Sounds so awful to where we are sitting right now to say it this way, but like, I don't think the Broncos want him back.
Right.
I think and it's also crazy to say this now, sitting here 3 or 4 days before the Super Bowl, but I think the Broncos would have been okay if he didn't come back this year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, you know,
there was a new coach, there was a new system. And when it was going so smoothly with Osweiler, you're like, that's why they didn't want him back.
Right, yeah. He took a pay cut.
Yeah.
They wanted him to take a much bigger pay cut than the one he took. Ultimately, if he wins the Super Bowl, he gets that entire pay cut back. He's already gotten halfway there. So that's, those things are kind of crazy. But, you know, I talked to I talked to Champ Bailey. I'm sure if I mentioned, I talked to Champ Bailey this afternoon, and you know, he retired 2 years ago after the last Super Bowl. Super Bowl loss ended up being his last game, and I asked him ultimately. So he ended up getting cut by the Broncos. Future Hall of Famer ended up getting cut by the Broncos, and I asked him, like, in retrospect, do you just wish you would have retired before they cut you? You ended up going to another camp, getting cut again, and all that stuff. And he's like, you know, for him, he needed to know one more time that, like, I got to give this one more little go. No regrets about it, but...
Because when you saw Manning in that last game last year against the Colts, you're like, it's probably time. And here we are.
Here we are. And I mean, I feel like there's been so many times this year where it's kind of like, all right, this
has got to be it.
I mean, I feel like most guys know.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, the Brett Favres, I think, are rare where they hang on to the...
Well, also, like, whatever your thoughts about Favre, he could still throw the ball really far.
Yeah. Yeah, he just couldn't.
Right, it wasn't very accurate.
Elway's talked about it a lot, where he just knew that his body couldn't sustain it anymore. And I think if Peyton is honest with himself, which I think he will be, he might not be this week, but I think he will be very soon. I think he knows he can't withstand a full season again. Mentally, he can. I think he still loves the rigors of it. And there's a lot of guys who lose that. They're just tired of the... Especially quarterbacks, the amount of work that goes into it. But I don't think Peyton is ever going to lose that. He could be 80, and he would still want to be in there watching film and diagramming plays and talking with his coaches.
When all the players are virtual in like 25 years, and he's just putting on the virtual reality suit
to play
the
quarterback. But somehow he's still like asking for the printout copies. Like he's not doing whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you see them sitting there on the sidelines, and like Brock and the quarterbacks' coaches and everything, they've got the tablet, you know, the service tablets and doing the stuff. And Peyton's like, bring me the printout. Like, I don't know how this thing
works. It's like an old dot matrix car rental printer.
He's got his kid out there like showing him how the iPad works and stuff.
And he's younger than me, so I can't really make fun of him too much.
I mean, it is a tough situation. I honestly, though, I think the fact that they won the AFC Championship game, I think that
that's enough.
He played well enough in that game, got another win against Brady, was able to come back from this injury. I think no matter what happens on Sunday, it has answered some of those questions with him. I mean, he has struck me all week as a guy who, while not making an announcement or a decision, he seems at peace with where he's at. And I could see him walking away after this, regardless of what happened. Being able to be like, this is my career, it's been great.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, I say that as someone with no ill will toward Peyton Manning. It's like, I just kind of hope so. Like,
I mean,
of course, again, I would have said the exact same thing last year. That I hope this is it. And again, here he is.
I kind of hope, I mean... As a guy who's watched, or somebody who's watched this guy for a few years, I kind of hope this is it for him. I think it's the ending he deserves, regardless of what happens on Sunday. I mean, it would be a shame if he goes out there and throws 4 interceptions and gets sacked 6 times in his last game. That would not be the ending he deserves. But, you know, let's say they lose this game by 6 points.
He plays fine.
Maybe throws 1 interception, throws a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, or they win. Either way, I think...
It's fine.
Getting to be in the Super Bowl in his last game after the career he has, I think it would be really sad to watch him get benched on another team next year, or struggle through learning a new offense next year, or being in a quarterback competition with Brian Hoyer in Houston. I mean, something like that. I mean, there's just, you know, getting cut again by the team. I think...
The Champ Bailey thing, that's great.
Maybe he'll sit down with Elway later. Maybe he'll talk. I mean, I'm sure he's going to talk to his dad a lot about this, but when is the time? I feel like this is the time. There's no bigger stage. He's not going to end up on a team. I mean, even if he comes back to Denver, which I don't think would happen, the chances of being able to have this situation again, all of the things that had to happen for the Broncos to even get here in the first place.
Even throughout the season, with the weird turns, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is it, man. Yeah. There's no possible better ending than it is right now.
Which is good. Okay, so then we're here. So I have to make it. Yeah, you have to do a prediction.
Yeah, so I've been on the record now, or will be in the record with USA Today later this week. After all I've said all of this, I'm picking the Panthers. to win this game. Although, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have picked this game to be a blowout and I think that's based strictly on the Panthers offense and the way they've won along the route. I don't think that's giving enough credit to the Broncos. Although I keep coming back to, if it's a close game, the Broncos win those close games. But I just, this has been Cam's year. This has been his coming out party of, hello, I am the next great quarterback in the NFL. It just feels like they're going to continue.
It feels like their culmination.
Yeah, and so I think in the paper I've picked 24-21 mm-hmm. Panthers. There's a lot of scenarios I could see in which the Broncos would win, but there's more scenarios I see. I just think the Panthers are a better overall team. I think there are elements to the Broncos that are better if we want to go compare position to position, mm-hmm. you know, some of those sorts of things. But I just think top to bottom, the Panthers are better. They've been playing better overall. They've kind of got all the elements. So I think this will be 18-1, one of the best teams in NFL history.
All right, well,
and they should, if they go 18-1, they deserve to be right up there with
all of them.
The 2007 Patriots mm-hmm. and the Bears and the undefeated Dolphins team in the 70s.
And we will have not paid attention to them at all until like the last 3 or 4 weeks.
And they're still, you know, and people will still find reasons to say
why
they didn't get there. But if they beat the number one defense in the NFL, they beat Peyton Manning in his likely career song.
And if they wipe them out, again, if it's like the Seahawks.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people have been saying all year the best three teams are in the NFC. A lot of people say, like, thought the best three teams are the Cardinals, Seahawks, and Panthers, and they wiped out both of, like, wiped them both out. Yeah. Like, Seattle came back a little bit, but it was after it was 34-0.
Right.
And Arizona was, I watched Arizona all year, and I can't believe that happened. Like, they just stomped them like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So, if they were to do that, I feel like it's hard to deny them.
But. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm predicting the Panthers, even though I really want to. I really feel like the idea that Cam has one more thing to, like, this is what sends him off on his journey of 5 straight Super Bowls in a row, is a loss in this game, but I don't think it's actually happening. So
I picked the Panthers. We have to send in predictions at the start of the postseason. I picked the mm-hmm. Panthers, and this week I kept, you know, it's because I'm around the Broncos. I've mm-hmm. had Broncos players who know that I picked the Patriots 2 weeks ago, who have kind of been like, who are you going to do? Who are you going to pick? What are you going to do? And kind of lobbying from, you know, here's the reasons why, you know, but I couldn't come up with a good enough reason to change my pre-postseason prediction, and I'm going
to
go with it.
You've got to. All right, well, thank you very much. I hope to do this again next year.
We'll do it from Houston.
In Houston? Did you go to the last Super Bowl in Houston?
No.
Yeah, I've never actually been to the city of Houston. So it's not
Houston was the first NFL city I covered a game in when I was on the Broncos beat, and I haven't been back since.
Oh, okay, well, so then
2008.
Full circles. When Peyton Manning comes back and wins a Super Bowl with whatever team the Broncos are playing next year.
Could you imagine?
It'll totally make sense. All right, Lindsay Jones, thank you very much.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And this is the Willie's Experience Podcast. Music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll be back on Monday with Allison Futter back in baseball land. So be safe, enjoy the game, and bye, Lindsay.
Bye.
See you in Sochi again. We're going to Sochi again next year, right?
World Cup?
No. Oh, right now.
NASCAR?
I've seen enough. Yeah, we're going to go see NASCAR in Sochi. All right, be safe, everyone.